This morning we will continue our series of lessons on the names of God, titles of God, and we're going to continue by reading the very first verse in the Bible. So if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, here we'll find the very first written revelation of God to man about himself. Notice that the Bible doesn't try to start out with convincing us that there is a God. It's just a clear statement. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. The word that's translated God in this verse is the Hebrew word Elohim. For those that have the list of names, you see how that's spelled. But Elohim, and it literally means gods, and it is in the plural form. And the word El, a lot of times you'll see that word connected with other names in the Bible, and whenever you see in a name like Joel, ends in E-L, the E-L means God, it's singular. But Elohim is the plural of that word. And it's a name that is often used for the one true God, though it is used from time to time to describe men and sometimes even angels, just to refer to their power in their realm. But more often than not, it's used to describe the one true God, Elohim, in the beginning, God. It is in the plural form, and that certainly does hint at the truth of the Trinity that will later be revealed in greater detail. But for the Jews, they understood it to mean that their God was the all-encompassing God. He was the creator, as we see this name revealed to us in the revelation of how things were created. Elohim came to be understood as we're talking about the creator of all things, the creator of heaven and earth. It, because it's in the plural form, though it referred to one entity. There was no mistake here, and in the Hebrew, there'll be the article that's used with it, the God, it's singular. The adjectives that are connected with Elohim in its plural form, but those adjectives are in the singular form. And so there's no mistake, the Jews understood Elohim in its plural form simply spoke of their one true God who encompassed all things. And the thought is also that he is the God of all gods. He is the one true creator of heaven and earth. So the Jews understood it to be, we're talking about the Lord thy God is one. That was later revealed. He's one. For us, we understand that we're speaking about the triune God, the Trinity, one, three persons, but one in nature and one in purpose. But that one entity, the Godhead, is Elohim. It was used to emphasize that Israel's God was complete. He lacked nothing. He was over all things. And it's one of the most common names of God in the Old Testament. It's used over 2,500 times. So this is a revelation that God wanted to give to the people of Israel, but also to us, as those things were recorded for us as well. I began this series of lessons on the names of God with Abba, Father. And that was to lay down the foundation that as we look at these other names and the truths that they reveal about him, that we're talking about our Father. We're talking about the one who has committed himself to our eternal well-being. And so it's important for us to understand that our Father is Elohim, that he is the God over all gods, that he is the creator of heaven and earth. When we think about that, and with all of these names, what God is trying to reveal something about himself to us when he gives us these revelations of his name. You'll remember in the New Testament when Paul went to Athens, they even had an altar to the unknown God. Well, God wants to reveal himself to man and has, and he's done so through these different names that he has given down through the years. With each of these names, we should ask ourselves, well, how should that revelation that my God, who's also my Father, is Elohim, that he's the creator of heaven and earth. How should that impact my every thought? Because if we just go through these lessons and we just learn definitions and we just have a cold ceremony of, well, that's what that means, and we never allow these revelations to transform our lives, to change how we think about things, to change how we react in circumstances and situations, then we've wasted our time. We're here for a purpose. God commanded that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Well, so that we can have a church, so that we can just have a little fellowship. No, that he might reveal himself to us, that we might be changed and ready when Jesus comes. This life is quickly over. It's just a vapor. No matter how long you live, it quickly passes in the light of eternity. And so we need to know what was the purpose of God revealing to us that he is Elohim. The first thing that comes to mind to me is it's connected to the creation. Elohim is the creator of all things. He spoke everything that is, he spoke it into existence from nothing. That's my Father. And if he is the creator, if he is Elohim, then that causes me to know that he's the architect of all of this, and therefore he has a plan for life, and he has a plan for my life. That's what this revelation should come down to. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for the human race. And this understanding that in the beginning, God, he's an architect. He has a plan and a purpose for life, which is completely contrary to the theory of evolution, which is based on chance and chaos. There's no plan there. And yet that theory is supposed to explain this perfect balance of nature. As complicated and complex as it is, it was all by chance and chaos. And they call us foolish. No, in the beginning, Elohim, the God of gods, he had a plan and he had a purpose. We've referred to these references in our study, in our Bible study in Genesis, but let's go back and remind ourselves of what God has revealed to be his plan and purpose for the human race, why he created everything. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 31. Knowing that God is the creator of heaven and earth, knowing that he is the divine architect of life, it should cause us to seek to know what that plan is. Man has created a lot of things, created the automobile. Quite a complex, wonderful invention, don't you think? I love all the new gadgets on the new vehicles, safety features, all those things. They're wonderful. Man created that. And man created it with a purpose. A lot of planning went into making that thing work like it's supposed to. And when something in that vehicle doesn't work like it's supposed to, what happens? It just doesn't function. It can bring about destruction. The same is true with us, our lives. When our lives do not line up with God's purpose for why he created us in the first place, it brings destruction, pain, and loss. This is why it's so important for us to understand that God is Elohim and that our Father is Elohim. And what's his plan and purpose for life? Why then did he create me? I know many young people, and again, there are specific things that I'm dealing with lately, that there are young people that are wrestling with these questions. Why did so-and-so die so early? Why did this situation happen? Why do people not like me? Why am I so sad all the time? These are real issues that people are wrestling with from a child all the way to the older ones. And to me, it's this simple. Know what life's about. Know what God intended for your life, for humanity in general, but for your life specifically. And in Acts 17, verse 24, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Idolatry is vanity, emptiness, and foolishness. Make a God with your own hands and then say, that's my God. It's foolish. That's what Paul was saying, verse 26. And he has made from one blood all humanity, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God has ordered the history of man. Yes, man has his purposes. Evil men have wanted to do what they wanted to do, and God has allowed them for a time, but never to the point that it overruled his plan and his purpose for humanity. Verse 27, what is that purpose? Why did God do all of that? Why did he create man? Why did he watch over the unfolding of history? So that man should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, made in his image, we ought not to think the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So that we know who that man is, God says the irrefutable evidence is that he is raised from the dead. Jesus Christ is God's man, God's choice, to be reconciled back to our Creator. And so all that we see in life, creation, your life is all about coming to know your Creator through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other purpose aside from that. And until people come to that realization, their life will never be fulfilled. They can try to do good things. They can try to be associated with good things, find a measure of joy and pleasure and satisfaction in those things for a while. But life is a vapor. It's a preparation for eternity. And this short life has one purpose by the Creator of life, to know him through faith in Jesus Christ, to have eternal life. And once you have a knowledge of who God is, then it's going to bring purpose to your life. Let's also read Acts 15, where this purpose is again stated. Acts 15, verses 14 to 18. Acts chapter 15, verse 14. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle, the dwelling of David, which has fallen down, and I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. That's the restoration of the nation of Israel that's promised there. Verse 17 says, though, so that the rest of mankind, all of humanity, may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Elohim is the creator of heaven and earth, and he created it with a purpose, that we might have fellowship with our Creator, that we might know him, have a relationship with him that is eternal. And so this very basic fundamental truth of knowing God as Elohim, our Creator, it will, if you believe it, put everything into perspective. All the disappointments of life, starting from childhood. Well, you didn't get the teacher you wanted in kindergarten or first grade, because by the time you're in kindergarten, you know who the first grade teacher is. I wanted that one. I didn't get it. Broke their little heart, didn't it? Well, and then a teenager. She doesn't like me. You grow up, you didn't get the job you wanted. Disappointment after disappointment. And if your joy and satisfaction is all based on circumstance and situation, if I get this relationship or if I get this job or if I get this place on the team, if you allow all those disappointments to rob you of your joy and think that's your purpose for life, you're going to be miserable. You're going to waste your life. Your life is about knowing God. Your life is about believing that Jesus is the mediator between God and man, that he is your good shepherd, that he is all the things that we're going to continue to study, that he has revealed himself to be by the names that he has given us to know him by. He's your everything. He's your joy. He's your purpose for living, knowing that he has an eternal purpose for you. And so those temporary disappointments or failures or even the tragedies of life, they're not going to be able to rob you of your joy and your peace and your hope, because you're focused one of my grandkids know one of my favorite words is perspective. Put everything in perspective. The circumstances, the sorrows, the losses, sometimes even the joys, they all become our focus in the moment. It's our everything. But it's not. It's just one piece. It's one opportunity. Even in the tragedies of life, the disappointments of life, they're opportunities for you to understand a little bit more about what God has in store for you. It's a preparation for eternity. Do you see how important these revelations are? It's not just a Hebrew study here. It's life. It's knowing how to deal with life, because God is Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth. Man's sin separated us from our creator, but from past eternity, God had a plan, and that was to reconcile us back to himself, that our relationship with our creator would be based on love and faith and obedience. He knew Adam was going to fail. His plan of redemption was already in place from past eternity. When I know that God has a plan for humanity, but for me, it causes me to know that my life has meaning. I don't wrestle with being insignificant. I don't allow myself self-pity. Now, don't misunderstand me. I fall in that pit from time to time. But this revelation pulls me out every time. God has a purpose for me. I know there's that underlying humility. I know I deserve nothing, and I'm a speck of dust on this vast universe. Just nothing. That's who I am in and of myself. But in the plan of God, I'm somebody, because he made me somebody in Christ Jesus. That gives me strength to climb out of that pit of despair and discouragement and depression that so many people, certainly the world, but many Christians are stuck in that pit of despair and depression. But I'm somebody in Christ because he made me that. My life has meaning, 2 Corinthians 5. My life has purpose because he's Elohim. What is that purpose that I'm to dedicate myself to in every circumstance and every situation, in the blessings of life and in the sorrows of life? What's my mission? What's my purpose? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Read through verse 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's your purpose in life. It's not becoming the smartest student in school. It's not becoming the best athlete in school. It's not having the highest paid job. It's not having the biggest bank account. Your purpose in life is to tell others about Jesus Christ. That truth will give you purpose in every circumstance, in every situation. And how important is that message? We are ambassadors of God, of Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth. This is his purpose, that men would know him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why our testimony is so important, saints. To me, it is such a tragedy when so many Christians, they say, well, I know I'm saved and going to heaven. I can live however I want to. I can do whatever I want. I can say what I want. I can hurt who I want. My life is mine. No, it's not. You were bought with a price. You belong to God. And what a privilege to belong to him. He gives your life meaning and purpose. But you have to seek to walk in that purpose, to function as you ought to function. Otherwise, if you don't function for the reason you were created, nothing's going to work in your life. Your life will be wasted. At age 12, when Jesus was in the temple astonishing the teachers with his knowledge and his understanding, Mary and Joseph couldn't find him. And when they finally did, Mary said, "Why have you done this to us?" And you can imagine Mary's situation. God gave her charge of the Son of God, and she lost him. You can imagine the panic. Why have you done this to us? But what was Jesus' answer in Luke 2:49? We won't turn there, but what was his answer? Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? That should be our answer as well. We are to be busy about our Father's business. Our Father is Elohim. He has a purpose. 1 Timothy 2:3-7. Let's do turn there. 1 Timothy 2:3-7. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires how many? All men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed, Paul says, a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Knowing that our Father is the Creator of heaven and earth, and knowing his plans and purposes for the human race is to reconcile them back to himself through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in that perfect sacrifice that he gave to pay the debt of my sin. Knowing that, that's what we are to dedicate our life to. Every relationship, every responsibility of life, whether it be our family, our work, our community, relationships that are part of living and that we are to be active in. But each of those, we need to narrow it down to understand, why am I here? Why did God allow this relationship or this encounter or this circumstance or this situation? Why did God allow it? Because he wanted me to be a witness of the faith, the power of faith in Jesus Christ. You see how that'll change how you think about everything and everyone? It'll get your thoughts off of poor me and to realize I'm here for a purpose, to point others to Jesus Christ. Well, I had a bunch of other scriptures. Let's close with 1 John 4:4. If you will simplify your life to this one purpose, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm here to point others to Jesus with my life, with my words. You need to understand that there's an enemy out there who's going to try to stop you. He'll try to stop you by tempting you to sin. If he can make your life a mess by you giving in to sin, oh, he'll be happy with that. And he'll love the scars that you give yourself because you disobeyed your Father and you ignored his purpose for your life. Satan's good at his job. But saints, for the child of God, sin is always a choice. It's not inevitable. Many counsel sessions I've had, or Brother Doug, I couldn't help it. You didn't know the circumstances. You're right, I may not have known the circumstances, but I know Elohim. He's promised to always make a way of escape if we'll take it, a way of obedience. And if he can't get you to fall into sin, then he'll come at you with all kinds of trials, things to try to discourage you. What's the point of going on? Seems like God's not listening to me, not doing what he said he would do. Again, Satan's good at his lies. He'll try to come against you with those things as well. But rest on this truth. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Elohim is our Father. We never have to fall into the snare of sin. Our Father, we have the very nature of our Father. We can overcome every temptation if we'll just obey his instruction. In the sorrows of life, the trials of life, the hardships of life that Satan wants to use, those things cannot overthrow. One of my favorite passages, Romans 8. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Not past, not future, not present, not life, not death. Because he's Elohim. He's God of all. He created all things. He directs all things. And because he's my Father, he directs all things for my eternal good. You can't find comfort anywhere else like that. It overrules everything. God loves me, and he's in charge of my life. May we never allow Satan's lies to deceive us. My Father is Elohim. Let's have a song in closing.